Let us pray for the awareness and inspiration of God's Spirit. God of courage, be in our speaking. Be also in our listening and speak to our soul's deep understanding. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I imagine it is a phrase that many of us, if not most of us, have uttered in our lifetimes. Perhaps we don't quite remember the circumstances or the person who was the impetus for us to utter the remark, but it was likely after someone had said something to us about not approving of something that we did, or maybe even who we are. Perhaps when someone called us out on a particular statement we made or a belief we held or an action we did, we responded with these words. Of course, I'm referring to the familiar phrase, "You're not the boss of me." Or more as we might hear it, "You're not the boss of me." Actually, the phrase I'm referring to might be the most quoted piece of Scripture after John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." The phrase of Scripture would be, "Judge not, lest you be judged." And while we've been looking at sayings over the last several weeks that are thought to be in the Bible but actually aren't, the phrase, "Judge not, lest you be judged," is actually in the Bible. So we're done. But it is in the Bible, but it is often misinterpreted in the ways in which most people quote this particular passage. The passage comes from the book of Matthew and from the section known as the Sermon on the Mount. This is the teaching of Jesus that begins with the Beatitudes, the blessed are the poor and the meek and the pure in heart and the peacemakers, and then moves on to cover a range of topics, including the law and prophets and anger and adultery and divorce and retaliation and love of enemies, almsgiving, prayer, fasting, money, and worry. This is the sermon in which Jesus calls the people to be salt and light to the earth, providing a shining example for all to see of the good works that will bring honor and glory to God. It's in this context, when we hear the reading for today from the 7th chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 5, listen for the word of God. "Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye." As I alluded at the beginning, this phrase, "judge not lest you be judged," is often quoted when someone has been judged, either in terms of who they are or some behavior they've engaged in that someone has called them out on. When someone declares another person's behavior wrong, the phrase is often said as a defense by the person who was called out, or maybe if it isn't directly used as a defense when someone's called out, it can be used in another sense when someone might talk about another and then declare, "But who am I to judge?" Some might even suggest that this piece of Scripture means that it's only God that is to judge, and any true Christian would not judge another person. All of those, I believe, miss the mark, because this passage really isn't about judgment. Rather, it's about hypocrisy. Jesus isn't so much talking about judging others as he is talking about being mindful that when we judge others, that we are held to the same standard. So that if we are going to do this, and we will judge, we better make sure that our house is in order. Jesus has just rehearsed a litany of moral issues and topics on how to be in relationship well with other people. He's challenged people to live a life worthy to their calling as children of God, to be shining examples on a hill for others to see. We cannot look at his words about judgment without taking all that comes before in consideration, and we certainly have to pay attention to what comes directly after. After the warning about judgment, Jesus offers an explanation. That is, we will all be judged by the same measure that we use. If we cannot live up to the standard for which we are calling the other person out on, then we have no right to apply that standard to another person. Jesus warns us that we first must take the log out of our own eye before we mention the speck or splinter in the other's eye. This is a matter of perspective and seeing. The closer an object gets to our own eye, the bigger it appears. What might look like a small speck in someone else's eye, well, will be as big as a log in our own. The fault or poor behavior looms larger in our own life than the same poor behavior or fault in another's life. Jesus gives us all a warning about making sure we check our own behavior and our own faults before we name it in someone else. Otherwise, Jesus says, we're hypocrites. How many times have we heard or seen someone, and I'm afraid to say many times, it's someone that professes the Christian faith loudly, that calls out someone, or maybe even an entire group of people, shaming and casting judgment upon them, only to find out later that the very thing that that person called out, the fault or the poor behavior, was something the accusers themselves were involved in? How many times have we heard the politician who decries others for stealing or handling money poorly only discover that they have embezzled funds? Or how many times have we witnessed a politician or a person in power decry that homosexuality is a sin or vigorously go after an opponent for having an extramarital affair to discover that they themselves are gay or that they're having an affair outside of their marriage or they have sent photos over a phone? Or to their whole contact list? That's hypocrisy, it seems, is not in short supply, and it's been around for millennia. One writer notes that we often see the bad in others for those things that are likely faults of our own. If we call out selfishness, it might be that we are selfish. If we see arrogance everywhere, it could be that it's because we struggle with arrogance. We see what we know. Jesus is not so much warning against judgment, he's warning against hypocrisy. Jesus warns us to check our own attitudes and behaviors before we attempt to help someone with theirs. This passage and message from Jesus isn't a prohibition on making judgments, but rather how and about whom we make those judgments. He's placing parameters around our judgments. And we make judgments every day. Some are more important than others, to be sure, but we make judgments. What we eat, what we wear, who to vote for, who to marry, where to spend our time or our money, how to respond to conflict, who our friends are, what church we attend, or dozens of other decisions as well. It is a good thing to be able to have a discerning mind and will in order to make good judgments. But we also make judgments about others. And this is where it gets a little trickier. This is where the difference between judging and judgmental falls, I think. None of us want to be or to feel that we are being judged in a negative way or by a self-righteous person. Certainly none of us is interested in hearing from someone who is hypocritical. this is the realm of someone being judgmental. Being judgmental is when someone is overly critical or negative toward another person. It's to be disparaging toward that person. It might be that someone is judgmental in order to feel superior to another person or to belittle the other person. At many times when someone is judgmental toward another person or group, it's when they're not in relationship with that other person. And while there is plenty of evidence and example otherwise, I would suggest to you that being judgmental is not at all Christian and not biblical. But making judgments, which we do every day, is both Christian and biblical. Jesus doesn't condemn making judgments. In fact, later in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus lays out ways we should approach discerning what is right and good between brothers and sisters in the faith. In some of his letters, Paul repeatedly emphasizes the community's responsibility to hold its members accountable to one another. However, Paul also reminds us that we're not to judge those outside of our own community. That's God's job, Paul says. And perhaps this is one of the most important distinctions to make about judging versus being judgmental. And that's understanding the importance of relationship and our values. I can make a determination and judgment about my own children's behavior because they are part of my family and I am the dad. As Kelly and I go about the process of parenting our children, one of the most important things we're doing or trying to do is instill those values that we think are important. We try to impart what we believe is important and essential for our children to be good people. We want them to be authentically themselves. We want them to be kind. We want them to be considerate of others. We want them to be brave. We want them to be patient with themselves and with others. We want them to persevere through adversity. We want them to do good in the world. In short, we want them to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so we and they make judgments about how they're living up to those values and expectations. And we recognize that as parents, that if we expect our children to live up to those values and attributes and behaviors, that we also have to live up to them and make judgments about how we're doing and seek forgiveness when we don't live up to them well. Judgment allows us to understand what is good. It allows us to seek and ask for forgiveness when we don't live up to that good. And that requires that we are sufficiently introspective and honest about how we ourselves are doing before we approach someone else in judgment. And we do the same thing as a community of faith. We have values that drive and inform us and that are important to this community. And these values are grounded in and informed by the life of Jesus as we understand him through Scripture. We believe in inclusion and diversity and an unconditional love of God. Because of this belief, we seek to be welcoming to all people, to bear witness to this love in word and deed, to be a place where we care for one another, where we act as agents of love, reconciliation, peace, and justice in the world, and where we invite anyone to join us in this venture, and they don't have to believe everything that we believe in exactly the same way, and where we continue to be open and receptive to the calling of God's Spirit. And we make judgments about how we do these things. And we hold one another accountable to our faith. We are able to do this because we're in relationship with one another, because we have empathy and care and concern for one another. We can hold one another accountable because there is mutual trust and love between us, built up by praying for one another and serving alongside with one another, worshiping with one another, eating with one another, enjoying one another's company, and caring for one another. Ultimately, we are able to share with one another and to be vulnerable enough to risk holding one another accountable because we know that we love one another. The goal is to help our brother or sister remove the speck, not to delight in the ability to judge them. The goal is not to judge, but rather to help others along the way to remove those barriers that would hinder us all as we try to live lives of integrity, peace, reconciliation, and love. It's about making sure our lives are in order and then providing assistance and guidance to make sure that those that we love and with whom we are in community are also living lives of purpose and intent, that we are all living lives worthy to the calling to which we are called, that we exhibit the fruit of the Spirit and give glory and honor to God. This is why we risk speaking the truth in love to one another, because love demands accountability. There's a saying that goes, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. Because we love one another, because we want to exhibit the love of God to one another, and by extension, the world, we cannot be indifferent. And while it's entirely appropriate and necessary to do this within community, to do this among people who are in relationships, it is also necessary at times to make judgments outside of those relationships. It may be necessary as Christians to judge a behavior or attitude or take a stand and declare that something is not okay. And if we're not in relationship with someone, or if we do this in a public way, it's important that we do it carefully and with humility, recognizing that we are treading into the potential pitfalls of hypocrisy, self-righteousness, and being judgmental. Judgment means making a determination about something and declaring it good, bad, or indifferent. And every judgment we make implies a particular value judgment underneath. And when there is a clash of values, there is typically conflict. I'm willing to bet that when someone brings up the scripture, judge not lest you be judged, when they've been judged by someone else, what underlies that retort and what they mean is, who are you to question my values? I want you to think I am right and good, and I want my values to be honored. And so, when we venture into this territory, we must be mindful. But it does not mean that we don't venture in to that territory. If we feel that an injustice or attitude or statement or behavior does damage to another person or persons, particularly if those persons are on the margins, it is incumbent upon us to declare that hate has no place in the discussion when an entire religion is relegated as terrorists, or an entire population or ethnicity is labeled as rapists and murderers. It is essential that we speak and act to keep our GLBT brothers and sisters safe when they are attacked, or when they can be fired or denied housing simply for who they are. It's our duty to say, Black Lives Matter. When we see evidence of systemic bias and injustice in our law enforcement and judicial systems, it's our responsibility to stand up and declare, yes, all women, when we see the violence of misogyny and the devaluing of a person just because of their gender. Judge not lest you be judged is a warning about hypocrisy, not a prevention from declaring what is good and what is bad. We can and should make judgments that declare what is good and bad and what God intends. This is not what abundant life looks like. This is not what it means to have love for one another, we might say. But when we do it, when we make judgments and statements, we do it knowing that we must attend to ourselves first and then to our communities as well. We do it humbly, knowing we may be wrong and we might need to to be corrected ourselves. We do this being open to the movement of the Spirit, and we do this not because we're called to judge, but rather because we're called to love. And love is not indifferent. Amen.